Thank you, Pastor Brian. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 as we continue verse by verse through the book of Romans. One of the things we saw earlier in this chapter is that Paul said that the sufferings we go through right now are not even worth comparing to the glory that we will share with him. So in other words, he's trying to tell us, yes, you're going to suffer, but it's nothing compared to the glory that you will experience for all eternity with the Lord. And then Paul goes through three things here. What's suffering? He says, what's groaning? First of all, he mentions creation, that creation is groaning because of the sin curse on the world that we brought into it. That creation is yearning for the appearing of Christ, and that he will make all things new, creation new, the heavens and the earth, and we will have a glorified body. But also Paul mentions that we are groaning within ourselves, not only because of the external things that may happen to us, life, but the internal groaning, because every day we struggle with sin. Every day we struggle against this power that is pulling against this flesh, and this flesh has been imprinted by that old nature that died with Christ. It had years of imprinting itself into our flesh, and also that the power of this world, man, look around you, it's always drawing you towards selfishness. It's always drawing you towards sin. And then the devil schemes against us. And it's this struggle every day with temptation, with sin. And that we're groaning because of this, that we want relief from all of it. A lot of times people come to Christ, they think, well, they're going to instant relief from all this sin stuff. Wrong. Matter of fact, you just put a target on your back. Today we talk about the third thing Paul said. Paul talks about who groans, and that's the Holy Spirit, who is living in you, who groans in your behalf. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit's intercession for believers. The Holy Spirit's intercession for believers. What a wonderful, wonderful promise, not only promise, a reality for us today, that we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and he helps us in our weaknesses with interceding to the Father. Let's begin reading verse 26 and 27 here in Romans 8. It says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we don't approach your word saying that we know all things, but Lord, that we're open for your Holy Spirit to illuminate your word in our minds and our hearts to understand. Lord, make us recipients of what you would have for us to learn today. Recipients to understand how beautiful the work is that you're doing in our life. Be with us as we go through this message time. You have the freedom to move in this service in Christ's name. Amen. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So let's just kind of catch everybody up. We're talking about sanctification. It is that process that God works in our life from the time that we're saved, we're born again, we're regenerated, we're justified before God for all eternity because we broke God's law. So we have to be justified, that Jesus Christ justifies us when we by faith and repentance believe upon him. That begins this lifelong thing of sanctification. That means that the rest of our life, God is taking out the old things that he don't like and putting in the new things that he does like. All the way up to that other word, there's some theological words I'm throwing at you, glorification. That's when Christ returns, we have a glorified body. But all of these things that we're fighting right now are passed away. New heaven, new earth, new glorified body, where we're not struggling as we talked about last week. But in the meantime, as we're going through this sanctification, as God is taking out the old and the new, man, he's given us his Holy Spirit who dwells, who abides within us. And Paul is telling us today, who intercedes for us with the Father. Man, this is some security stuff here. Verse 26 says, and the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It says we're on this journey, this sanctification journey that started, that began when we accepted Christ, we're born again, and it lasts all the way to the day our eyes close in physical death and our spiritual eyes open with Christ. That's sanctification for a believer. As we're on this journey homeward to heaven toward eternity with Christ, in his kingdom, the Holy Spirit abides in us and works out our sanctification. He's working in us. He didn't just say, hey, figure it out yourself. The Holy Spirit is working in us the whole time. See, the Father planned for our glory with him in the kingdom. The Son provided for our glory, and the Holy Spirit protects and secures our glory. Paul just spoke about it the last 2 weeks that we talked. Creation's crying out for it. We groan because we want that glory that God is bringing with us in Christ Jesus. So, let's state up front what this passage is not saying. John MacArthur used this kind of little statement. He says, he half expects his Bible to bleed when he gets to verse 26 because it's been wounded so many times. So here in verse 26, it's been abused quite a bit. It's been taken out of context quite a bit. And if you're a student of the Bible, you realize that there are a lot of people around the world who misuse and misquote Scripture. Take it out of context of what it means. Sometimes people want to read into a verse something that they have been ill-taught or an emotional experience they've had, and they want to tag on to a verse. And it's totally not what the author meant. And the author has been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So some Christians want to use verse 26 as a means or as a text for the gift of speaking in tongues. Specifically, the latter part of verse 26. Where it says, with groanings too deep for words. So there are some who choose to believe that when you do not know how to pray, that you just launch out into this ecstatic speech called glossolalia, or incoherent speech. You don't understand what you're saying. But in actuality, it has nothing to do with the legitimate gift of speaking in tongues in Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 14. No, what happened in Acts 2 and in 1 Corinthians 14 is xenolalia, where it was a miraculous ability that God, has, through the Holy Spirit, had placed on believers, those 120, those disciples, those 12 and the others who were there in the upper room, given them the ability to speak in languages of the people who had gathered there in Jerusalem. It's the ability of a believer to be able to speak a language that he's never studied and never learned, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's a known language. That's xenolalia. Glossolalia is actually practiced by many religions and cults. It's ecstatic speech. So some people want to read into this, into verse 26, and say, oh, what it means there is you speak in this ecstatic speech. It's not. Let's keep it in context of what Paul wrote here. We quickly discover that's not what Paul is talking about. So let's get to the truth and the context and the beauty of this beautiful passage. It is a gigantic security text for us as believers. Man, it's beautiful here in this latter part of chapter 8 what God is doing and what God is showing us. Verse 26 begins in the same way, Paul writes. This is meaning that in the same way that creation groans, and in the same way believers groan, waiting for the redemption that the Lord will bring as we battle against this sin in life, the Holy Spirit groans in the direction of our future glory. In this process of changing us and transforming us in sanctification, getting out the old nasty sinful stuff and putting in the things that God wants into our life, that's sanctification. And it happens day in and day out, every moment of the day. Man, on this journey, as the Holy Spirit is pointing us to the glory of God that is coming to us, he communicates with the Lord through groans. He communicates with God the Father through groans in our behalf. Why does the Holy Spirit groan? Because of the agonizing reality of sin in the Christian's life, in whom he lives. The Holy Spirit lives in you, Christian. Listen, you come to know Christ Jesus and faith by faith and repentance of your sin. Listen, you are in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives and resides in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means he is there, residing in you, and you're agonizing and groaning over the sin that still comes and goes in your life, and the Holy Spirit speaks to the Lord for you. Why does the Holy Spirit groan? Well, Jesus groaned over sin. God has groaned over sin. His Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So just as Jesus is grieved over the death of his friend Lazarus over there in John 11 verse 35 says Jesus wept. Jesus already knew he was fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wept because of what sin had done to Lazarus. He wept over the death of Lazarus because of the death and the decay and the corruption and the stench of death that is producing this in the nature of sin upon his children. Jesus wept because Lazarus, the sin that was in Lazarus' life, man, it caused his death. So we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He is no less grieved. He is no less impacted by the weight of sin that the Father and the Son are grieved by. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is God living inside of you right now. Your body is his temple. Christian, you have God living inside of you. You were bought at a price. You are not your own. Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's not some force. It's a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So in the text, who is doing the grieving? Who is doing the interceding for us? The Holy Spirit is. Verse 26 says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. So while we work out our sanctification, and as we deal with this struggle of sin and temptation, man, we often find ourselves weak and worn down from the struggle. I don't know about you, but I do. You ever find yourself weak from this struggle going on in your life? Not only the external things, but the internal things. The temptations that you wish you could just overcome like that. Man, the struggle is worn down from this constant temptation, the desires of the flesh, the sin we struggle against, the external influences and the internal wearing on us. We find ourselves weak, fatigued, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and physically. And because we are weakened, verse 26 says, we do not know how to pray as we should. We just don't know. We don't know what God's will is, and we're dealing with all this junk. We're weak. We're tired. Did you ever say, Lord, I just don't know if I can do this anymore? See, the text is spelling out this kind of work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. He's interceding in our behalf because we don't know how to pray as we should. Did you think you would ever hear that? That there are areas in our life we just don't really know how to pray as we should. So the Spirit of God prays for us. There are times, listen, there are times, many times, we're in such a place that we don't have the words to say to comprehend what is going on inside of us. Maybe from some external things, maybe from the internal. We don't know how to comprehend what's going on in our life. We're simply overwhelmed. Our mind is foggy. Our words are absent. Sometimes just elementary. Our emotions are exhausted. Maybe even numb. We're spiritually empty. Barely hanging on. Christian, be encouraged that God's got you. It's not you hanging on to God. It's God holding you. He is holding us rather than us hanging on to Him. You see, in our weakness, when we do not know how or what to pray, verse 26 says, He intercedes for us. The Greek word, therefore, intercede, boy, it's a long one. I'm going to butcher it up with my redneck self. I know it. It's a long word. Hooper on tongue cano. It sounds like some of the rivers there going to South Louisiana. You can't pronounce them. Hooper on tongue cano. It means to intercede in behalf of. It refers to the Holy Spirit interceding in every scene of our life so we can come in line with the Lord's eternal purpose. The content of these intercessions go beyond human language, bringing sacred mysteries into our daily walk with Christ. It means to rescue a person in great danger who has no resources of their own. Imagine you're going down a river just floating, and there's a waterfall, giant waterfall at the end. Not something you go, whoo! No, something goes, oh, never seen. You're floating down a river. You have no source of getting to safety. Then someone throws you a rope. Holy Spirit is when we are saved, Holy Spirit is our rope. He's the one who abides with us and pulls us safely home. Man, so we have to get that context of chapter 8. Is that we cannot sanctify ourselves. The believer who thinks that they can, well, if I just quit drinking so much, if I just quit smoking, if I just quit dipping, if I just quit chasing women, if I quit this, if I quit, you can't do anything on your own. Did you realize that? You can't sanctify yourself. You're just trying to alter some behaviors that you're not going to do very good at. You know what happens when we try to alter our behaviors? Man, we may quit doing one thing, but because we're people of habit, we pick up something else to start doing. We can't do this Christian life apart from the Spirit of God living and leading and sanctifying us. We're utterly helpless to get it right. When it comes to prayer, if we somehow think that rattling off a bunch of gibberish or a bunch of emotional feelings or repetitious prayers or chants is going to get the work of God done in our life, then man, we've missed the point. What Paul is saying. He's saying, you do not know how to pray for those things that's going on. You don't know what God's will is for your life. You don't know it, so how are you going to pray for it? You're too busy feeling bad about yourself. The text says we do not know how to pray as we should. So people make up all kind of stuff. Man, God wants to hear from you. Let's be encouraged. Listen, we do not come to the Word of God to support our preconceived ideas or ill-taught beliefs. We go to God's Word so that God's Word can speak to us and teach us. So in order for God to cleanse us and teach us and correct us and to move us along and change us, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit working. Our weakness is that we just don't know how to battle against the very things that ravages our lives. We don't know how to battle against the ravages of sin apart from the Holy Spirit praying for us. And we may think we have it all together. You know, that's what happens as Christians. We come to church, and oftentimes we'll put on this face like we've got it all together. In reality, we don't. You can put up your Sunday good clothes. You can put on a little makeup and do your hair. Wash your face a little bit, guys. Shave a little bit. You can come to the church, and everybody thinks you have it all together. Well, I saw him at church. But the Lord knows what's going on inside of you. He knows what's going on inside of you. You don't need to be ashamed of it. You don't need to be ashamed because God is working that stuff out of you. He is the one sanctifying us. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying us. And man, I'm going to tell you this. When you think you have it all together, there comes a new trial. And you don't know how to handle it. You think you do, but we don't know how to handle the prayer or situation. Man, if we think too highly of ourselves, we may believe that we can handle any situation and pray ourselves through it. And Scripture says we don't know how to pray as we should. Man, if you're a student of the Bible, and I hope that you are, never get a haughty attitude. Never think, well, I've studied this. I know more. No, you don't. You've given the Holy Spirit some feed to work in your life. But man, never look down on somebody else who's not where you are yet. No, man. Spirit. We don't know how to align ourselves with God's will. His perfect will, because we're imperfect. The Holy Spirit works us there. See, it's the Holy Spirit who abides in us and teaches us how to line up with God's word. See, the wonderful reality for us as believers is that it's okay that you don't know what to pray for or how to pray for the will of God in some things. Our understanding may not be clear, and our understanding is not going to prevent God from moving and changing and transforming and working in your life. Just because I don't know what God wants for me, God is still working. Because he knows I'm finite. He knows you're finite. He knows that you don't know everything about him. So he's working on you the whole time, Christian. Getting out the old, bringing in the new. And the Holy Spirit living inside of you is communicating with the Father the whole time. That's incredible news, isn't it? Because there's so much we just don't know. I don't know what my health will be like in 5 years, and you don't either. You don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't either. We don't know what we don't know. But there's one living inside of us who does. And God is still working. Verse 26, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Spirit of God is dwelling in every individual, every believer, as the source of true life. He is the Spirit of adoption and witnesses with the believer's spirit that he is a child of God. And he intercedes in prayer for us with groanings that we cannot utter. That takes out that belief that people want to read into it, that speaking in tongues is what this means. No, it doesn't. Can't utter it. Glossolalia, xenolalia, that's all utterance. It's not speaking in tongues. This is much deeper. The dwelling spirit in the spiritual realm where the Holy Spirit communicates with the Father on your behalf and on my behalf. This is the Spirit himself groaning and speaking to the Heavenly Father to make intercession for you and for me. Is your mind blown away yet? These groanings can't be uttered, can't be verbalized. Not the spirit of a man, not the gift of the Spirit in a man. Not one who seems to have this extraordinary gift of the Spirit. No, man, it's every believer. It's the Holy Ghost himself communicating what we need to help us in our weakness. Verse 27 tells us about the Spirit searches our hearts. Verse 27 says, and he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Who's the Holy Spirit talking to? He's talking to the Heavenly Father. For you. What a beautiful picture. Listen, God living in you, giving you eternal life, and forever engaging you in this remarkable communication with the Father. So God is actually involved in your sanctification. God saves us through Christ. and he's involved in our sanctification. Nothing happens in your life by accident. This is God taking care of his kids. Father God taking care of his kids. He knows who we are. Matter of fact, he knows our name. He knows every hair on our head. He knows some of them are starting to turn a little gray. Everything about us. So God has put his Holy Spirit, God himself, living in us perfectly, interceding and communicating with the Father. And what for? For what purpose? What this means is that we do not know how to best pray for the Lord's will to be done in our lives. Therefore, the Lord himself would do that for us. You didn't save yourself. You're not sanctifying yourself. God is actively working in your life, doing all of it. Miraculously. Christian, you're a walking miracle. And can you grasp the security in this that the born-again Christian has? And all that's all through the sanctification, we have the Spirit of God beautifully communicating with the Father in heaven. All that I am and all that you are as a child of God is safely connecting to the Father through this journey of sanctification. That as you are being sanctified, the Lord carries you along. When I pray, when you pray, where we lack in our prayer, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Man, that's astonishing. How many times did you bowed your head and prayed, and you thank God for your job, and you thank God for the kids, and you thank God for your church, and you thank God for this, and then you give God your needs, and Lord, please help us with this and help this with that. And then the Holy Spirit is leading that. And where your prayer falls short, he fills in the gaps. I don't know about you. But I know my words fall short. And I'm so glad that the Father lives in me and the Holy Spirit. And communicates for me. And he communicates for you, Christian. It's beautiful. God's securing our future glory by filling us with the Holy Spirit, sealing us to the day of redemption. He counsels us. He comforts us. He teaches us. He convicts us of a sin. He encourages us. He strengthens us. Listen, he emboldens us to speak boldly for him. He gives us power to live out this life that he has chosen for us. And the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds when we read scripture till we can understand it. And I'm so glad he even works to break this stubbornness we have. In the process of sanctification, man, we're on our way to glory. The Holy Spirit speaks with the Father on our behalf, and his perfect, eternal, providential will be done in our lives. As the Holy Spirit is speaking to the Father, God's will is done in our life. Well, if God's will is being done in my life, then why do I have so many curves in the road? Because we're imperfect, and oftentimes we take too many detours. But even in the detours, God's will is still being done in our life. Sometimes he gives us detours to teach us valuable lessons. So we don't know what to pray for in our weakness, but the Spirit prays for us according to the will of God. And the Father who has planned our glory, the Son who's provided for our glory, and the Holy Spirit who is protecting our eternal glory in Christ Jesus is taking us home. Verse 26 and 27. That's not man's work. That's not your work. It's not my work. The work is from the Holy Spirit of God, who is taking us home and securing our glory. So what's 26 and 27 all about? What is there for? If we go back, we'll cheat and look at next week's, the first verse of next week. Verse 28. Look what's coming next week. And we know, verse 28, that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Man, that's security. That's a security text for us as believers. That is your eternal glory. That's in clear view in this verse. God is working all things for your good by ever-present perfection, His intercession with the Holy Spirit. It's not guesswork. It's an absolute assurance of your coming glory in Christ Jesus based on the Word of living God. God's work will go forward in our life even when we don't know or understand. God's work will still be going forward. Matter of fact, in Philippians, Paul writes this in chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Man, once you're in Christ, He doesn't lose you. The Holy Spirit is there. He has filled you and He sealed you to the day of redemption. No one falls through the cracks with Jesus. He is the one holding on to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. As we're being sanctified, listen to this. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one." Man, Christian, today, leave encouraged. Leave encouraged that the Holy Spirit is leading you home safely and securely according to the Father's will. Oh, listen, Christian, leave understanding that you are in the hand of God and the Holy Spirit is interceding for you when you just don't know what to pray for anymore. When you're in your weakness, the Holy Spirit is interceding with the Father so that His perfect will be done in your life. Question is, do you know this Jesus as Savior? Right now, maybe the Holy Spirit is dealing with some folks in here. And you're seeing that, listen, I don't really know if heaven is going to be my home. I see my sin, but now I see the Savior. Man, would you by faith believe upon Him? The Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe. He gives you the grace so that you would trust. He gives you the gift so that you would renounce your sin. And Lord, today I want to follow you. The Holy Spirit comes and abides and lives in you. And man, He carries you through this life, through this sanctification, all the way home to glory. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Would you simply believe? The Bible gives two stipulations for salvation: faith and repentance. Listen, baptism is obedience to your faith, what Jesus said do. Salvation is faith and repentance. Would you believe upon Christ today in repentance of your sin? And if you've done that, man, come let me know something. I'm up here for a little while. Just come up, Brother Kevin, this morning. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Man, I'm going to ask you about a little bit about that. Okay, what do you believe? I don't expect you to have a big theological thing. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus is a Savior. I trust Him to save me. Sounds like the thief on the cross right next to Jesus, huh? And man, we're going to talk about you being baptized in obedience, your first step of obedience as a Christian. Whatever God's dealing with you in, man, I'll be here. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit residing in us as believers. Oftentimes, God, we thought to minimize the effect and the working of the Holy Spirit, but God, your word just blows that wide open. Because God, you're there, you're working all the time. And Lord, I pray today as Christians we leave encouraged to know that life is hard. We struggle with things internally. Most of the times we shut down. We're just so overwhelmed, and your Spirit always intercedes for us. Sometimes life can get so troubling, God. We just don't know what way to turn. And Lord, we just sit in silence, and your Spirit is praying for us. The one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. In order to bring your perfect providential plan into our life. Have your way in our life today, God. Maybe there's someone who doesn't know you, and by simple faith and repentance of their sin, they trust you today as Savior. May they have the courage to tell someone. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.